Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
All right, it comes from Daniel 5, and we're starting at 13. Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, "You are that Daniel, one of the exiles of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought from Judah. I have heard of you, that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the enchanters, have been brought in before me to read this writing and make known to me its interpretation. But they could not show the interpretation of that matter. But I've heard that you can give interpretations and solve problems. Now, if you can read the writing and make it known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom." Then Daniel answered and said before the king, "Let your gifts be for yourself and your rewards to another. Nevertheless, I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation. O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave him, all peoples, nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed, and whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up, and whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne, and his glory was taken from him. He was driven from among the children of mankind, and his mind was made like that of a beast, and his dwelling was like the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. And you, his son Belshazzar, have not humbled your heart, though you knew all of this, but you have lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and the vessels of his house have been brought in before you, and you and your lords, your wives, and your concubines have drunk wine from them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways you have not honored. Then from his presence the hand was sent, and his writing was inscribed, and this is the writing that was inscribed: Many, many, Tekel and Parson.
Thank you, Ray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this time that we can come around your word. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Thank you that in your presence there's fullness of joy, and in your presence there's healing. In your presence, Lord God, you provide for us. And so this morning, Lord God, we ask that as we come before you in your word, may you speak to us, each and every one of us this morning, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Amen. 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 Won't you say hi to someone before you sit down? Okay. Wow. Okay, so we are continuing our series at the moment called A Light in Babylon. Who's enjoying the series? You enjoying the series? Learning lots about Daniel, learning lots about God, right? Okay, so the title of my message today is The Writings on the Wall, The Vessels of God, okay? And so today we're going to be looking at the vessels of God and specifically how Belshazzar treated the temple vessels of God. And so we're going to see the importance of these vessels and how they are also these vessels of God and how we can remind ourselves of this beautiful truth that we get to see, that we can walk out in our daily lives, and that is being a vessel of God. We ourselves are these beautiful vessels of God. Okay? And so we're going from chapter 5, that was read beautifully from, from the beautiful ray, right? Okay, sorry, it's my dad's side, right? Okay. So I've got the mic, so you're going to hear a lot of the blues today, all right? Okay, so today we're in chapter 5, and we see this is the second king that Daniel serves under, and his name is Belshazzar. And so an ancient historian by the name of Berossus, he gives us the following details of kings around the Babylonian times, okay? And so the first one is Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar, which we've heard of from chapters 1 to 4 in Daniel, he reigned for 43 years. For 43 years he reigned. And so he had the longest reign out of all the Babylonian kings. After him came his son Evil-Merodach, who was mentioned in 2 Kings 25, verses 28 to 27. And it says this, "And in the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, Evil-Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, graciously freed Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. And he spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat above the seats of the kings who were with him in Babylon." And so he shows great grace, great mercy upon this king of Judah, right? But yet he only ruled for 2 years. He only ruled for 2 years because he ended up being assassinated by his brother-in-law, right? Watch out for your brother-in-law. Okay, and so his brother-in-law is Niraglasa. And he's mentioned in Jeremiah 29, verses 3 to 13. And Niraglasa only ruled for 4 years, and he eventually died of natural causes. So his son, Liborasorkod, I only say that once, who was an only child. And so this is his only child, and this kid of his, he had some mental issues, right? It says that he had a diminished mental capacity. And so he only ruled for 9 months. And then he was beaten to death by a gang of conspirators. And so these conspirators that had beaten this young king, they appointed one of their own. And his name was Nebuchadnezzar. And so this Nebuchadnezzar, he ruled until Cyrus the great Persian king, conquered Babylon. And so you're wondering, where does Belshazzar fit in? Good question. Belshazzar is the eldest son of Nebuchadnezzar. And so it's thought that in this latter part of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he spends most of his time in Arabia. And so he gives the authority to his son, Belshazzar, to rule over the Babylonian kingdom in his absence. And so that's where we see this Belshazzar. And so Belshazzar has this extravagant, banquet. He has a party, He has one of those New Year's Eve parties, one of those parties. He has this massive party. He has 1,000 guests in his in this party of his. And there's this weird twist of events where he asks for something, or he thinks of this. He thinks, hey, let's bring out those vessels from that Nebuchadnezzar brought back from Jerusalem, from the temple of Jerusalem. Go get those vessels and let's drink out of them. That's a good idea. You think? He requests to bring the temple vessels of God out of this. It was in his treasury, his storehouse for all his gold and everything, all his treasures. They were in there. But he requests to bring those out. Bring those vessels out. Bring those cups out. Those golden goblets. Bring them out. He is desecrating the vessels of God. Belshazzar and his nobles, his wives, his concubines, they all start drinking out of these temple vessels. These sacred vessels. The act of using the sacred vessels from the temple for a common feast and the praising of these Babylonian gods was seen as a great act of stupidity, firstly, and in disrespect and sacrilege. These vessels held deep significance for the Israelites because they were used in the worship of God, in the temple of God. That was the only place where they were to be used. They weren't supposed to be used in a common party. You know, just a birthday party. They weren't to be brought out then. They were created specifically for use only in the temple of God. But Belshazzar, he uses them in this evil manner where he honors and praises his false gods. So Belshazzar was seen as defiling these sacred objects, these sacred vessels, and he's seen as challenging the authority and sovereignty and power of God. Not a good thing to be doing. Whether he was doing it for attention or whether he was just doing it to try and prove a point to all his guests that had gathered there, this wasn't a good thing to be doing. Do you know that our bodies are vessels of God? In Paul's letter in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 19 to 20, it says this: "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own." Everyone say, "You are not your own."
You are not your own.
"For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." So our body. Everyone go like this. "That's your body. Your body. Don't touch anyone else's body. Your body." This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's a sacred place. The body, this body of ours is where the Holy Spirit dwells. He resides within us. And so if he resides within us, if he resides in this body, if he lives here, then this belongs to God, right? We belong to God. Now it's interesting to note that when Paul is talking about this here, he's talking specifically about from fleeing sexual morality in this chapter. And so he's reminding us of the truth that the Holy Spirit lives within us. That we are made in the image and likeness of God, right? That goes back right to the beginning, into Genesis, where we're reminded of being made in the image of God. But we can sometimes fall into the thinking that this body is mine. I can do whatever I want to do with it. It's my body. But it's not ours. As Paul is reminding us here, we were bought with a price. God bought our bodies with the precious blood of Jesus. So if we understand that these bodies don't belong to us, but that these are God's property, this is God's property, shouldn't that change how we live our lives? Shouldn't that, you know, get us thinking differently about how we treat our bodies, right? Shouldn't it? If we know that this belongs to God, this sacred vessel belongs to God, I should approach it differently. I should think about it differently. So knowing that this is God's property, that this is not mine, that I want to take care of. I want to take care of this, God. I want to honor it. I want to look after it because it's been given to me. It's been entrusted to me by God. Do we take care of these vessels? Do we take care of these vessels? Do we honor these vessels that have been entrusted to us? Are we treating this vessel and the other vessels around us? Right? Look around. Look around you. They are vessels of God as well. Right? Are we treating this vessel and these other vessels around us as holy and honoring to God? Do we take care of these vessels? In verse 5, this miraculous event happens where these fingers of a human hand just suddenly appear in their party and starts writing on the wall. And this freaks out Belshazzar, right? This freaks him out. And everyone at the party, oh my goodness. Just imagine that. You're at a party and the next minute, there's this hand that doesn't have an arm or a body connected to it. It's just writing on the wall. I'll be like, see ya, right? It says in verse 6, then the king's color changed and his thoughts alarmed him. His limbs gave way and his knees knocked together. This guy was like, oh my gosh, what is that? Right? This is not normal. This has definitely got the king's attention, right? So this party he put on and then all of a sudden this happens. This wasn't part of the party. This isn't part of the plan. And his initial response to everyone was, call the enchanters, call the Chaldeans, call the wise men, the astrologers, bring these people into here. I need to talk to them. Because these specific men that he's calling for, these were the ones that are supposed to be able to know about these supernatural things. They were the ones, they were his counsel when it came to things that he couldn't understand or he didn't know how to explain. That's who he fell onto, that's who he went to. And this was a normal practice. This was the normal response for the Babylonians. When something unexplained happened, these men were called into the room. Who do you call on when things happen in your life that we cannot explain? Who do we call on when things happen in our life that we cannot explain? Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters. No, sorry. No, we don't call Ghostbusters. We call Jesus. Okay, we call Jesus. Oh, I'm glad the older generation's got that. But we call Jesus, okay? We call on Jesus. This is the blessing of being a vessel that has been set apart by God and for God, is that we get to call on the name of Jesus. He is there for us. To comfort us, to lead us, to guide us, direct us in whatever seasons we may be going through. In those seasons that are unexplainable. You know, one of the hardest seasons to go through is when we go through the loss of a loved one, right? That's a tough time. Real tough time. This is my mom and dad. My dad went to be with the Lord in 2005. At that time, my parents had gone to Samoa to celebrate my grandmother's or his mother's unveiling. And he ended up passing away in Samoa. And then in 2009, my mom passed away. She was here with us, living here in Brisbane. But that night, she went to spend the night with my other sister in Forest Lake. And she passed away there. They both passed away in their mid-50s, and both were due to heart disease. You know, the one thing that I think of, that I used to think of quite a lot, was thinking about, man, will I live past the age of my parents? Because the doctors, they were saying, hey, you're at such a high risk now, Henry, because both your parents had heart disease. You're at a higher risk of dying from heart disease as well. And so that would like play on my mind. Say, oh my gosh. By my 50s, I don't want to live to 50. I want to live to 100. I want to live as long as I possibly can. But because these doctors had told me these things, I sort of had this impression in my mind that, oh, man, how am I doing? How am I living my life? you know. So I was trying to eat healthier, trying to exercise more. You know, I'm trying to do these things to sort of, you know, ensure that that by my mid-50s, that I'm not, that I live past my mid-50s, right? Because that's all I know. That's all I'm wanting to do is like, oh my gosh, I need to take care of myself, you know, physically. But there's a danger in letting this sort of thinking, that fear, dictate or control the decisions of our life. Right? Because then we become driven by this fear, right? We become driven by the fear of what may happen to me, rather than seeing that this life, this precious life that God has given, has entrusted to me, is an opportunity for me to honor God through stewarding this vessel well. Through taking care of this vessel. Don't be motivated by having this fear of what happened to my parents, but no, see, this is a gift from God. How am I going to use it? Right? Am I going to use it for the glory of God? That's another question in itself. So I come back to the question that I asked earlier. Do we take care of these vessels? Do we take care of these vessels? Do we see the importance of these vessels that have been entrusted to us? Are we treating ourselves and other vessels of God that are deserving of the respect and honor of God? So Daniel's called upon by the queen mother. He's called upon by the queen to interpret the writing on the wall. And it says in Daniel verse 11, "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, enchanters, Chaldeans, and astrologers, because an excellent spirit, knowledge, and understanding to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve problems were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation." So this is the first thing I want us to see today. It's this: the vessels of God hold their value. The vessels of God hold their value. Now, if you know the story of Daniel, right? This is a king. He served under Nebuchadnezzar faithfully for these 40 odd years. He was faithful to what God had called him to, even in this foreign land. Even where he was called to, even where he was placed there, right there. It wasn't around his family, it wasn't around his comfort. But it was around what God had placed him. God was using him, even in this place. Belshazzar doesn't even know that Daniel exists in his kingdom until the queen mother brings it to his attention. She knows, the queen mother knows the value, the great value that is in Daniel. Right? And it's not just about the gift that he is. You know, it's not just about what he does. It isn't about just what he speaks out. It's about who he serves. That's all that Daniel points to, right? Daniel always points to God did it. This is from God. God gave it, right? He's using him. He's using me, Daniel, to tell you these things. But it's all from God. It all comes from God. The queen mother knows the value of Daniel. And this can be seen in the way that she calls Daniel, Daniel, right? Because he was given a new name. And it's like she's still honoring Daniel. She's honoring his God, right? By still calling him by his Hebrew name. She doesn't refer to him. She says, right, she said there that this is the name that the king gave him, was Belteshazzar. So she has this honor, this respect of him. She knows the value of this vessel. She knows the value of Daniel because of the God that works within him, because of the God who uses him, the God who Daniel serves. She recognizes the value gift that is within Daniel. She recognizes the precious vessel that Daniel is, that he is a gift from God. She doesn't just see Daniel for what he does. She sees Daniel for whose he is. He belongs to God, right? She sees that. She recognizes that. Daniel held his value because of the character that he had within him. His character enabled him to walk differently, enabled him to walk in a way that was like, man, why are you different? Why do you look like that? Why do you talk like that? Why do you respond like that? Because he knew what he was about. He knew that he was all about God's plan, God's calling for his life in that place. Do we see that in the people around us? Do we see the value that God has placed in each and every person around us? Do we see the people around us as a vessel from God, as a gift from God? Do we see our husbands and our wives as a vessel from God? Do we see our children as vessels from God? Young people, do you see your parents as vessels from God? Do we see our neighbors and our community as vessels from God? Or do we just see them as an obstacle to our daily life? People that are just trying to make our life difficult each and every day. We need to remind ourselves daily that we're made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. And so if we're made in the image of God, how should we conduct ourselves as ones that are made in the image of God? Well, the first thing that we can do is that we start by recognizing that the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So when we do things to our bodies as not glorifying God, all we're basically doing is that we're just treating God exactly the same way that Belshazzar is treating the vessels of God. In this party, doing whatever he want to do. Treating them with disrespect and without fear. Without any thought of who God is or any thought that of the God who owns it, the God who gave it, the God who paid the price for us. He doesn't see any of that. Do we see the people around us as vessels from God? And so when Daniel was brought before the king, Belshazzar does something weird again. He does these weird things throughout, you know, his story, this king. Because he makes it like he knows Daniel. He makes out like, you know, oh yeah, I know you. In verse 14, it says this, I have heard of you that the spirit of the gods is in you. I have heard of you. I know you. No, you just got told about Daniel 5 minutes ago from the queen mother. But he's like, oh, no, yeah, I know you. I know that God is in you and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. So Daniel's response to the king is an interesting one because he gives Belshazzar this history lesson. Daniel gives Belshazzar this history lesson of what Nebuchadnezzar was like. And he says this in verse 18. O king, most high God, Nebuchadnezzar, your father, Let me start again. O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. And because of the greatness that he gave, all peoples, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he killed. Whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he raised up. Whom he would, he humbled. But when his heart was lifted up and his spirit was hardened so that he dealt proudly, he was brought down from his kingly throne and his glory was taken from him. This is Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among the children of mankind and his mind was made like that of a beast. And his dwelling was with the wild donkeys. He was fed grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven until he knew that the Most High God rules the kingdom of mankind and sets over it whom he will. Over whom he will. This is our final point for today. The vessels of God have a history. The vessels of God have a history. Daniel summarizes the history, the life of Nebuchadnezzar in light of God. He says this, O King, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, your father, kingship and greatness and glory and majesty. It came from God. It came from God. All that your father had, all of it was given to him. It was given to him by the hand of God. And that is why he did this disrespectful act of defiling the vessels of God's temple. And in Daniel's interpretation of the king, he says this in verse 23, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which do not see or hear or know, but the God in whose hand is your breath and whose are all your ways, you have not honored. So this alone should have sent like tremors through the mind of this king, hearing this, that his very breath is in the hand of God. But it doesn't. Hearing that his very life is in the hand of God, and he was not honoring God. It would be easy for Belshazzar to think, oh man, but I haven't done anything wrong against your God. I haven't done anything that bad. But at the very least, he did not glorify the true God. Every creature is required to give glory to its creator. Amen. Think of this. The breath of the creature should praise its creator. But Belshazzar, he blasphemed God with his breath. The ways of the creature should glorify its creator. But Belshazzar used these ways to mock and offend God. Every creature owes something to its creator. Psalm 150 verse 6 says this, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, right? Everything that has breath. If we have living breath in us, then we've been created to praise God. We've been created to honor God with our lives. All creation is called to praise the God of creation. God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. So in verse 26, Daniel interprets the writing on the wall that read, Mene, Mene, Tekel, and Parson. It sounds like a nursery rhyme, right? Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. Right? Don't do that, okay? Okay, so here's Daniel's interpretation, right? So Mene means God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. So God is basically saying, your kingdom is ending, bud. It is ending. It's over. It's finished. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Because of Belshazzar's arrogance and his pride, and lack of spiritual and moral values, he had not met the mark. He had not lived up to the standard of God. He had not been faithful with what had been entrusted to him. And Perez, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. So this is the end of Belshazzar. This is the end of his kingdom. This is the end of the Babylonian kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar is killed. And the Babylonian empire falls. And the Medes and the Persians waltz on in and take over. As vessels of God, we have history. We have history that began with God. But then when sin entered the world through one man, we were separated from God. But God never left us. He used great men and women throughout the history of mankind to try and reconnect us back to him. But we always seem to fail. We always seem to come up short. So then God came to this earth in the bodily form of Jesus, his son, and lived the life that we could not live, and died in our place to pay the ultimate price for all of our sins, so that we could be reunited with God the Father. The price that Jesus paid with his life opened the way for salvation with him through his sacrifice. We are so valuable to God, each and every one of us. We are like these valuable vessels, right? We're made to be in the temple. We're made to be worshiping God. That's our purpose. We're created to be in fellowship with God. We're created to relate to God. Because we're made in the image of God. The desecration of the temple vessels by Belshazzar, it serves as a significant event in the biblical narrative because it symbolizes the pride, arrogance, and idolatry of Belshazzar and his kingdom, which ultimately led to his downfall. But it also highlights the consequences of disrespecting and dishonoring the sacred and sovereignty of God. These temple vessels that were set apart for worship unto God, they had a specific purpose. Just like we do, we have a specific purpose, right? And it begins with this, that we're created to glorify God, the Father, in and through our lives. You know, how can we communicate? How can we communicate the value that God has given us? God has given each and every one of us through the relationships that we have with the people around us. How do we show people that? How do we show people that because of the love that God has shown me, I want to pour this into you. I want to show you, whether it's through generosity, whether it's through time, whether it's through resources, I want to show you what God has shown to me, has loved on me, and I want to love you into the kingdom of God. What does that look like? Do we ourselves recognize the valuable vessels that we are as God's chosen sons and daughters? Do we notice the valuable vessels that God has placed all around us, in our families, in our communities? In terms of the beautiful people in our lives, these people that God has brought into our lives that are made in the image of God. You know, I pray that we do. I pray that it will cause us to walk differently, to love people differently. Pray that each and every one of us will understand how precious we are to God. As an individual person, as an individual young person, as a husband, as a wife, God sees you and knows you. Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time, Lord God. I thank you for the things that you are speaking to us right now, Lord God. That you are you're revealing more of yourself to each and every one of us, Lord God. And even today, as we have looked through Daniel, Lord God, and this particular moment in his life, Lord God, where we're highlighted of the importance of these vessels of God, Lord God. Thank you that you see us as these vessels, these sacred and holy vessels. You know each and every one of us, Lord. You have chosen us. You are forming us, Lord God, each and every day. And so we thank you for this time, Lord God. Thank you that you have chosen us. Each and every one of us, whatever we may be walking through right now, may we remind ourselves, may we know of your goodness and your faithfulness, Lord God. Now, if there's anyone here that maybe you're walking through something in your own life and you don't feel like a vessel of God right now, right? You feel like, man, I don't even feel like God's around me because stuff is happening, because stuff is not going right in my life. And it just feels like I don't feel anything with God. I don't even sense his presence around me because everything else in my life is telling me I'm useless, I'm a wreck, I'm no good to anyone, I can't do anything, I'm always wrong, I can't do this. There's something wrong with me. I really believe that God's wanting to remind a lot of us this morning that we are precious vessels of God. And he wants to reignite that connection with you right where you are. He wants to reconnect with your heart and remind you that you are his son. You are his daughter. He loves you exactly the way you are. Man will try and shape you and form you. But if we allow God to shape us and form us, we won't be disappointed in him. We won't be disappointed in what he's trying to form us into as great sons and daughters of him. So, Father, I pray for those that they may be walking through these challenges right now, Lord God. As an individual, seen by you, known by you, Lord God, may you help us navigate through this, Lord God. May this morning be a time of reconnection back to you and helping us see how precious a vessel that we are to you. Father, we thank you. We honor you, we give you thanks in Jesus' mighty, wonderful name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, here's our discussion question. Everyone all right? Everyone okay with that? These were really quiet this morning. Would you not have any breakfast this morning? Come on. Okay, so have a chat with someone next to you. Let's talk through this, okay? How can we communicate the value that God has given us through the relationships that we have with the people around us? How does that look like? How does that going to look like sort of living out the value that God has given to us, that God has placed in each and every one of us? To love hard, to serve hard, right? What does that look like in speaking and communicating it to the people around us? Is that all right? Have a chat to someone and we'll see you in like 3 minutes as we come back to respond in the word by through worship.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.